Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in sharing just some thoughts. I'm not really in a teaching mode on knowing the signs of the times in which we are living. And I've just been rereading some of the words of Jesus that were found in the Gospels of the importance of being aware of the times in which we live. I remember it was said of the children of Issachar, they discerned the signs of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. And it's important, if we ask the Lord, He will give us wisdom. He will give us understanding. We don't have to go to Bible college. We don't have to be Bible scholars to allow the Holy Spirit to open the pages of the Word of God to us. And that is the, as I've said time and time again, I don't know how many times, that the in the end, regarding the church world, because there's much apostasy, there's the great falling away we see occurring and happening before our very eyes. Mainline denominations have been just split down the middle on the basis of the Word of God. You either believe the inerrancy and accuracy and truthfulness of the Word of God as we have it, or you believe we need to adjust it for the times in which we are living, making it relevant for the hour of today's day and culture. Well, beloved, no, God knew what He was doing. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so in the church world, we see an ever-increasing evidence that also will promote unity among Christians. It's the world church, culminating in the false prophet that is the sidekick of the Antichrist. And world leaders have promoted the so-called cause of peace, you know, since the last century, the great two world wars that occurred in the 20th century, you know, the war to end all wars. Well, beloved, the religious organizations, denominations, some of them have joined in and believing that our only hope is, quote, world peace. And there are thousands of clergy around the world working for this so-called peace and unity. And perhaps on the surface for a little while, it may be established. But beloved, those who know the Word of God will not be fooled. And you have to read the Word of God for yourself. It's not just a matter of, you know, going to a good church and hearing a sermon and a message from the Word of God. You have to be convinced and convicted by those words. Don't be swayed by those who just prophesy nothing but good times, and we can just, you know, take the kingdoms of this world for our God. There's only one who's going to do that, and that's when the King returns. Now, what can we do? There's plenty that we can do. But beloved, so many of God's precious people at the time in which we are living are experiencing the horrors of war, of poverty, of trouble, of satanic persecution. And there are, just as in the time of Israel of old, there are plenty of false prophets who are, in the old days, they were infamous for their prophesying peace, peace, when there was no peace to Israel. And the genuine prophets, poor Jeremiah, suffered such opposition because he was the only one saying, it's not as you say. And so they preached and prophesied great delusions to the people, and they deceived the people with their false teaching and prophesying when war and slavery were at the door of the nation, not peace. And so even today, those, and I'm speaking of generalities, but there are those who would just preach pleasant things, if you will, things that were popular and are popular with the people, and basically saying that you can have the blessings of God without obeying God's word. And that's what they did in ancient times. And beloved, human nature has not changed. That's the same modus operandi of the Satan today in those who have gone apostate, that, you know, God is a God of love, and we just need to let that love, which is the most important thing. We know the Word of God says that, but we have to speak the Word of God and love in truth. Those that worship God will worship Him in spirit and in truth, not in falsehood and not in deception, not in wishful thinking or conveying what a popular message might be. That would involve basically no change of our individual lifestyles. I don't think you can get away from the words of the scripture that says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And so, beloved, what are we to do? We see signs increasing around about us. Those of you who are in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you have seen in the times that you have been living such a radical change and transformation of life and society here in America, things that are taken without nobody blinks an eye would have been appalling in the 40s and 50s. There has been such a change, and we've taken prayer out of the schools. I thank God for the encouraging signs we're seeing now. It may be small, but I believe God has brought to light some of the things that we see, the good things happening in the news, to encourage the hearts of God's people. So what is the solution, beloved? We are to pray. That scripture I quoted to you, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, and more God is hearing and seeing the hearts of his people yearning and praying to see God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Beloved, we are living in such critical times. You know, God quickened a scripture just before I looked it up, before making this broadcast. A familiar passage is found in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. And I'd like to read verse 9. Paul is speaking, and he said, I'll just paraphrase. Up in verse 8, he's saying, I count everything as a loss, except for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Is that your heart's desire, to know the Lord? That's what Paul was saying in these scriptures. He wanted nothing more than to know the God that he served. He had a lot of things God was asking of him to teach, to instruct, to raise up disciples, which he did. And in his imprisonment, he was able to pen these immortal words that are found in the most of the New Testament. He did the writing of them. He goes on in verse 8 to say, for I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung as worthless, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Beloved, that's what our salvation is, the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us by the faith that God has given. It's not what you generated in yourself. It's the gift of God. And, you know, we're not saved by our works, but by faith, which is a gift of God. But this is what I want you to hear in verse 10. He says, what is his purpose in living? Is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on to say, not that I've already attained it, but I'm pressing on. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, beloved, yes, we desire the power of his resurrection, but I'm convinced it's also Paul, there was an and, a conjunction there, and the fellowship of his sufferings. We can add nothing to the atonement of Jesus Christ, but like Christ, our hearts can be touched by the sorrow and the sin that's in the world, by those who are suffering, by those who are in pain, those who don't know Jesus. Jesus is alone the only answer to us. So we need to pray, beloved. It's simply my heart sharing that we need to pray and also to be obedient to the calling that God has placed on our lives. Praying, beloved, you know, that is, there's no greater ministry than that. And in the moments that remain, I do this so rarely, but there's a letter that came in recently. I've been sharing with the partners that we could have an inner vision to understand what God is calling each of us to do during this season in our lives. And she writes from Oakland, California, "Thank you for all you do and for your prayers and encouraging cards and inserts. We are experiencing the fruits of your labor. You asked me if I knew what my calling was. I do now." She shares, "The Lord has answered prayer. He's called me to intercessory prayer. I've been in much spiritual warfare prayer since I last wrote you. I have seen and continue to see His mighty hand moving in my life and in the ones I've been in prayer for. He has revealed things to me about first myself," which He of course does, "and those I've been in prayer for. There's been exposure, acknowledgement, repentance, and renouncement of sin and generational curses. I've seen and experienced so much." She just goes on. I can't read the whole letter, but she says, "Please continue to pray with me, my fellow soldier in this spiritual war. The hour is late and the darkness is growing darker, but that is when His light in us shines brighter." Some wonderful preaching. Amen. And so, beloved, that is, of all things, the highest form of ministry, I believe, intercession. That is what Jesus is now doing for us. And He's called all of us to that ministry of prayer, that we can say, "Father, let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as we experience the power of His resurrection, as well as being touched by the feelings of His sufferings, the fellowship of His sufferings, the things that grieve His heart, the more and more we're going to be conformed to the matchless image of our Lord and Savior. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.